2 Samuel chapter 15. And we won't take too much time today. 2 Samuel 15. All right, am I there? I'm there. All righty. All right, we're there. If you don't have a Bible, follow along with somebody else. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let's start in verse 12. And it says this, right in the heart of David's story. And with Absalom, that's David's son, let's start in verse 12, I'm sorry. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Giloh, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Now, stop right here and just tell you, Absalom was David's son, David was the king. Absalom's trying to steal the kingdom from David, his father. 13, and there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. So people started falling for Absalom's, you know, whatever it was, his deceit, and they started really taking their loyalty away from David, the king, and putting it towards Absalom. Verse 14, and David said unto all his men, his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. So David tells all his men, listen, let's get out of here. We need to leave. We need to go. You know, this is going to get worse and worse. And look at verse 15. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Listen, these servants, man, they were in a pretty difficult situation. They could have easily said, you know what? Absalom's getting a little more powerful, and king, we love you, we've served you, but I think we're just going to, you know, if there's going to be some battle here, we'd rather be on the side where everybody else likes. So we're going to kind of shift our loyalty over to Absalom, or hey, we can't do this, or they could have left themselves. But you know what they did? They realized who their master was. They realized that, man, David was their master, David taking care of them, and they were his servants. They knew who they worked for, and they said, David, King David, we're ready. We're ready to do whatever you want us to do. So the title of the Sunday school lesson this morning is this, are you ready? Are you ready? And I want to talk about some things in just a moment that we need to be ready for our king. But first, how many of you have a hard time getting ready in the morning? Anybody? Okay, my hand's up too. So for really, it's amazing. Guys and girls are so much different. I could get up. If I have to be somewhere for 8:30, I get up at 8 o'clock. Shower, shave, whatever. Shaving doesn't take too long, unfortunately. But, you know, shower, clean up, eat breakfast, get dressed, and I'm ready to go. Smelling great. Everything's good. Wonderful. But if my wife got up at 8, you know, she probably ain't, you know, done getting ready till about 10. I mean, it takes a lot longer, a lot of times, for girls to get ready. You know, they do all their makeup, they do their hair, they do this, they change their outfit about 25 different times. Me, I'm like, well, that doesn't matter. Well, I'm just making a statement then. I'm starting a new trend, and I don't even care. I'm just like, whatever. Everybody's different. I'll get ready. I can get ready very, very quickly, very quickly. Now, there's some times when I take a little bit longer if I'm really trying to, you know, trying to think of other things. Not just getting ready, but like preparing a message. That takes time. You know, preparing a lesson, that doesn't just take, you know. Now, sometimes there have been times when they say, oh, you got to preach tonight, or hey, you're doing this, and I have an hour to get ready. Yeah, the Lord's really got to help me. But most of the time, I take my time, you know. Some of you guys, if you get ready to go to school in the morning super early, and you just drag yourself out of bed, you put some toothpaste in your hands, and you clean it all over your face, and then you pour some milk down your shirt, and then you go to school because you're just so tired. You don't even care. You're just going, whatever. That's any problem. Especially, listen, public school guys, I mean, you got to get up. If you ride the bus, you got to get up really early. Man, I'm glad. Man, that was never me. Praise the Lord. That would be horrible. Getting up at 5 a.m.? No thanks. Not for school. For something nice, yeah, but for school, man, I'm going to forget it. But we're talking about getting ready. You know, everybody's got to get ready for something. Everybody, I don't care if you're lazy. Everybody's always getting ready, preparing themselves for something. And these servants said, David, we're ready. They already came to a point and said, listen, we're ready. We are ready to do whatever you want us to do. Whatever you ask of us, we're going to do it. We're ready to serve you. Can anyone give me a definition of the word ready? Just simple. Come on, someone take a stab at it. What does it mean to be ready? Someone guess.
Prepared. Don't.
prepared. You're prepared. You're prepared to do whatever it is that you're getting ready to do. You're ready for it. Now let's talk about some things real quick. Okay, you're in your Bibles. You got them. We're not going to turn too much because I don't have too much time. But I want to give you today four ways that we need to be ready for our king. Hey, these servants were ready for their king, David. But there's four ways that we need to be ready for our king. Okay, number one is this. If you're writing down stuff, great. If not, that's fine. Listen up. It's easy to remember. Number one, we need to be ready to go. We need to be ready to go. I don't mean ready to go here or there. I'm talking about ready to go, as the Bible says in the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, at the end of those books, the Gospels, the Bible says, Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, God commands us to go. He says, go into the highways and hedges that my house may be filled. It says, compel them to come in. Listen, that's the rally that we're going to on Saturday. The theme is compel them. That's taken right out of the Bible. It says, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. We're commanded as Christians, whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, to go in all the world and preach the gospel. We need to be ready to go. God, our King, commanded it. He commanded us to do it. Listen, that's why we have Saturday soul winning. That's why we have the Operation Saturation. Hey, that's why we have the upstairs the track rack with all the different tracks. And we have one right here by our this other door. Tracks that you can go and you can pass out. That's part of going into all the world and preaching the gospel. Part of it. God commands us to. I know we mention it a lot. Every single Sunday morning service we announce, hey, it's soul winning on Saturday. We want, you know, want you to be here for it. Want you to be here for it. And I know some people work on Saturdays. They can't make it. But there's a lot of people that could make it that don't come. Listen, it needs to be mentioned, it needs to be said, because it's a commandment from God. God tells us, listen, you need to be a witness. And yes, there's other times to be a witness. You can be a witness at your school, or even sometimes some of us at our home, we have to be a witness, and out at the store, whatever. But listen, we need to be a witness. We need to be giving people the gospel to be ready to go. Be ready to go. People are dying and going to hell, whether we like it or not. People in this city are dying and going to hell. People in your life are dying and going to hell, whether it's family or friends or people you know or neighbors. People are dying and going to hell, and what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? We have to be ready to go. Listen, people have no hope nowadays. They have no peace but anything. And listen, we can give them that peace and hope. Not we can show them who can give them peace and joy. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. People need to hear the good news of salvation. Man, what if someone never reached you? Could you imagine? Every one of us has a testimony of someone reaching us. Maybe you say, oh, my parents were saved. Well, somebody reached your parents. Well, my grandparents were saved. Well, somebody reached your grandparents. No matter how far back you go, somebody was reached with the gospel. Somebody was reached with the gospel. My parents did not grow up in Christian homes like this, Catholic homes. But you know what? When they were newly married, living in Alabama, their neighbors in their trailer park were Christians. They witnessed to them. My mom had got saved as a teenager, but never really went to church. But God used his family in the trailer park in Alabama before I was even born. I think my mom was pregnant with me. I was in my mom's stomach in Alabama. So I lived in Alabama for some part of my life. But they witnessed to her, and they got saved, and they started making changes. They moved back to Massachusetts with my grandparents, my dad's parents, and we found a church, and we started going. And God has done a great work in my life because somebody reached out to my parents. So just imagine if someone else wasn't ready to go, you would not be here today. You would not have the peace of knowing you're going to heaven. And listen, we can bring that peace to someone else. We can bring that joy, and we can change somebody's life with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've got to be ready to go. What else do we have to be ready for? Number two, we've got to be ready to stay. Number one, ready to go. Number two, ready to stay. If you have a Bible, go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah 6. Go quickly, quickly, quickly. If you're not there when I get there, and I will read it. Jeremiah chapter 6, and verse 16. Jeremiah 6, 16. It says, thus saith the Lord. Anytime the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, it means it's pretty important. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Ready to stay. You know what I mean when I say ready to stay? I'm talking about staying with what works spiritually. There are people all throughout your life that are going to try to get you to try new things, to do things that you know aren't right. Listen, you've got to be ready to stay with what works. Stay with what God has commanded. Listen, God said, he said right here, stand in the ways and see and after the old path, where is a good way? Walk therein in the old path and what's right and what the Bible says. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But look what they said at the end of that verse. But they said, we will not walk therein. He said, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Well, we're going to try these new ways. We're going to try these new things. Listen, be ready to stay with what works. I know we just, some of you don't understand this or you don't know all about it, and even I'm still learning about it, but there's a reason that we use the King James Version of the Bible. There's a reason why. It's not just because, oh, it's the cheapest one or it's it. No, there's a reason. Brother Samuel just taught a whole summer series on why we have the King James Version of the Bible. It's not just because our pastor says. No, there's reasons why. It's the reason why. There's reasons why we go door-to-door soul winning and reach people. A lot of churches don't do that anymore. They don't have a soul winning program. They don't go out visiting or knocking new doors or giving out tracts. They don't do it. Hey, there's a lot of people that don't have a bus ministry. They don't want a bus ministry. They're trying to get away from that. There's a lot of people that cancel Sunday night or Wednesday night services. Listen, and there may be people in your life that do that, and they may not even realize that they think it's okay. And they're going to try to get, why does your church do that? Or why do you guys do that? Listen, just be ready to stay with what works. This has worked for a long time. This church has been around for 120 years. It's obviously doing something right. God is blessing our church. God has blessed our church, and it's stood for this long for a reason. Be ready to stay with what works. Be ready to stay in God's house. The Bible says, and I'll turn there, but you don't got to turn there, but in Psalm 122, verse 1, as I'm turning there, it says this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Listen, man, I'm glad to see you, Tina. I'm so glad you're here this morning. But you need to be ready to stay in the house of God. Say, listen, whenever the doors are open, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. No matter what it takes, I'm going to make sure that I'm in God's house, being preached to from God's word, singing the songs of God, making decisions for God. I want to be in God's house. Be ready to stay in God's house. God will bless you for it. God has placed you in this church, in this youth group, for a reason. So be where God's placed you. I said it before. The place where you are is where God wants you to serve Him. Listen, you may be the only person in your house that comes to church. Well, just make a decision. I'm going to be faithful to God's house. Maybe your family comes, but maybe they don't always come to every service. So you know what? I'm going to make sure that I'm there. Whatever it takes. Maybe you have to be the encourager in your house. Say, listen, guys, let's get to church. Let's be at church. Come on, let's go. Even your brothers and sisters, they don't want to say, man, guys, let's go in the bus. Come on, let's go, let's go. Listen, be ready to stay in the house of God. Be where God wants you to be. Be there. What else we got to do? Number three, we need to be ready. Not ready to just ready to go, ready to stay. Number three, ready to live. Ready to live. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I believe it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I hope you're ready to live. And when I say live, I mean live for God. Saying, God, you know what? Just like in the Old Testament, they would give sacrifices to God for sin or to praise God, whatever. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. Say, God, whatever, however you want to use me, I want to be used by you. Whatever it is, God, please use my life. Be ready to live for God. Be ready to, listen, you're not going to be able to live for God if you're not trying to be like God. Be holy. Jesus said, God said, be holy for I am holy. I mean, being holy is simply just doing what the Bible says. Doing what the Bible says and not doing what the Bible says not to do. Now, we're sinners. We're not perfect. I know that. But trying to be more and more like Christ every day. Ready to live. Christianity, there's a quote that says this, Christianity is not just a spectator sport. I was talking to little Jonathan Lawley. They went to the U of M game last night. And watch the game. And he was just so pumped about it. I mean, sitting in the stands, all those thousands of people watching the big game, awesome, the big house. But, you know, could you imagine how it feels for the players? And they won last night, I guess. U of M won last night. They did. Sorry, Eddie. Sorry. Sorry to tell you. But listen, Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's very easy to just sit in the chair and say, oh, yay for such and such as, you know, oh, pastor preached a great message, or all the people went out soul winning, wonderful, yay, oh, you know, this, that, and the other thing, the boss is serving the bus ministry, or all these Sunday school helpers, this is great, you're doing such a wonderful job. We need to get involved. I mean, praise God that folks like the Millers, for all these years, they've realized that Christianity is not just a spectator sport. Hey, if they wanted to, they would have every right to say, you know what, serving with the youth group is getting really difficult for us. I mean, Uncle Jack works. You know, they're getting a little older. They'll be the first to tell you, listen, and say, well, you know, we'd rather just kind of sit and just, you know, come to church and relax. And you know what? I couldn't fight them on it. I mean, they've served God for a lot of years. But they've decided, listen, Christianity, I don't want to just watch and see what God does in our youth group. I want to be a part of what God does in our youth group. I want to serve. Christianity is not just a spectator sport. I hope you can get involved in ministry. Some of you serve in the nursery. Praise God, that's a ministry. Now, there's other things you can do. Listen, we have a bus ministry that always could use helpers, people to come and ride the bus Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. Soul winning on Saturday, that's part of living for God. Being out for Saturday soul winning. Coming to different things we have. Listen, don't just be a spectator in this Christianity is not a spectator sport. You've got to get involved. Get off the bench and serve. Be ready to live for God. You say, well, I go to public school and it's just really hard. I'm really busy and blah, blah, blah. I have sports and this and that. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Do what you can. Listen, I understand you can't just give up and quit school and serve God, but you can do something for God. You can live for God. You can do something for God. You can bring your friends to church. You can, no matter how busy, listen, if you're too busy to serve God, then you're more busy than God ever wanted you to be. Because God would never give you enough in your life to keep you busy from serving Him. I understand busyness. Believe me, I understand busyness. Got a wife, two kids, full-time job, and you think, well, you're a youth pastor. You just work on Sundays and Wednesdays. Fat chance. No way. And this is great. I love my job. I wouldn't trade it for the world. But really, me and Pat, we're on call 24 hours a day. Something happens at 11 o'clock at night to one of our church members or one of you, you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be right there with you. If something happened to one of you or to your parents, I'd be right. Listen, that's just the nature of the job, and I love it. And some of you are very busy in your lives right now. You got school, you got sports, some of you work. But don't get too busy to serve God. Don't, because you're more busy than God ever wanted you to be. Be ready to live. Ready to live for God. And lastly is this. We're done with this. And I'm done. Perfect timing. We're ready to go. Ready to stay. Ready to live. And lastly, ready to die. Ready to die. I'm going to read you a verse in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 says this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. When I say die, I'm first talking about dying to self, saying, you know what? It's not about me. Life is not all about me. I want to start living for God. And through living for God, you know what you can do? You can live for other people. You're going to live your life trying to help others. Hey, that doesn't mean you don't take care of yourself at all. Hey, you know, you can get up and feed yourself. But listen, take care of other people. Be an encouragement to other people. Think about others before you think about yourself. Be willing to sacrifice your thing for somebody else. God will bless you for that. He says, let each esteem other better than themselves. The Bible also says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who have the household of faith. Many times God tells us, listen, serve others. Serve others. And through serving others, you know who else you're serving? You're serving God because you're obeying His word. When's the last time you did something for somebody else? I mean, really did something for somebody else. Now, something you were forced to do, but on your own merit, on your own, and from your own heart, you did something or gave something or whatever for somebody else. You gave up something that was important to you for someone else. Die to self. It's about other people. But also, when we're ready to die, being ready to face Jesus Christ. Salvation. Hey, if you're not saved today, you need to get saved. Be ready to die. Know you're going to heaven. We've talked about it. You can ask me about it afterwards. I mean, you got to make sure you are saved and you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins and you trust Him as your personal Savior and repentant of your sin. Listen, you got to be ready to die. But not just, maybe, as far as I know, many of us have made profession of faith. All of us, as far as I can tell. You say, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Praise God. But are you ready to die and face Jesus Christ. I think of every year around Christmas or my wife's birthday, and I like to get her gifts, but I always wish that I could give her more. You know, she had her birthday this past 2 weeks ago, and it was a tight week with bills, so there wasn't a lot I could really do for her. I felt really bad. I got her a cup because she had broken her old, you know, straw cup that she would carry around, and it broke. So I bought her a cool new one from Bed Bath Beyond. I mean, it wasn't cheap, like, you know, $2, but it was just a cup, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I could have got more for her. But we just couldn't that week. Now, later on, I got her hair done. Man, it costs a lot of money to get a girl's hair done. My goodness gracious. But either way, I always wish I could give her more because she means a lot to me. She's important to me. Man, if I could give her every single thing she wanted, I would do it. And she's not selfish, but I always wish I could give her more. Even my kids, I always wish I could give them more. Wish I could give them more. One day we're going to face Jesus Christ. We're going to face God the Father. And if you don't start now deciding to live for Him and dying to self, and you're going to get before Him. And like the song we sing, it says, I wish I had given Him more. Do what you can for God now. Yes, we're never going to be able to do enough to repay what God did for us. We can sure try to get as much done for God so that when we finally see Jesus, we can say, you know what? I may have failed. I may have made mistakes, but I really tried to give God all that I could. I really tried to serve God with my whole life because of all that He did for me. And I tried to give as much as I could. Don't get to a point where you say, I wish I had given Him more. No, be ready to die. Be ready to die. Listen, there's some things in our life we're not going to be ready for. You're going to have a trial that comes into your life, some difficult situation. Someone's going to pass away in your family. You're going to lose a loved one, or someone's going to come and just knock. Your parents may split up. I don't know. You're not going to be ready for everything. But if you can be ready to go serving God by reaching people, you can be ready to stay and doing what God says in His Word and sticking by the stuff. You can be ready to live, living for God, doing right. You can be ready to die, dying to self and living for others. Listen, when those trials come in, you're going to be closer to God. You're going to be able to handle them much better. Be ready. David's men were ready. We're ready to do whatever you want. Are you ready to do whatever God wants you to do? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around.